Welcome to Tune In, Discovering Your Authentic Self. My heartbeat is to connect with others and learn what they are thinking and feeling so I can empower them to find the answers within. We each have the answers inside us, but in order to access all the possibilities, we need to understand the truth of what is really going on inside, instead of choosing habits that shove down our feelings and continue to mask the pain and discomfort. We can rewire these faulty patterns we develop to avoid, but only when we become more aware and admit it to ourselves. We all have a story to tell, and the better we understand ourselves and how we think and feel, we can then make choices that are in alignment with our goals and values and who we want to be in this life. Join me on this Tune In journey. Welcome to Tune In, Discovering Your Authentic Self. Today is going to be the first part in a series. I'm not sure how many, probably three part, where I'm starting to explain the certification that I'm getting in order to do some more specific coaching. And primarily it's going to be relationship coaching, although the information that I'm getting certified in can actually have an impact on any part of your life. It could be work, it could be your family, it could be friends, even just yourself. And it's really important to understand what your attachment is. So there's something that I'm studying. It's called integrated attachment theory. And Thais Gibson is who I'm getting certified under through the Personal Development School. And I got interested in this work as I started delving into my past and my self and work in order to heal some wounds and just work on myself. And there's a test that you can take, which I will link in the show profile, that you can take that will help you understand more of your attachment. So there are two different categories. There's secure attachment and there's insecure attachment. And the research, although it's a little bit old, a couple of years old, says that about 50% of the population is considered secure and the other 50% is considered insecure. However, I beg to differ. I think there's a larger percentage that are insecure. However, so in the insecure, there are three different categories. There is anxious attachment, dismissive avoidant, or fearful avoidant. And in order to know which category you are, which can change based on what's going on in your life, but typically you're one, you take the test and you will get your results at the end of the test. And then you will be able to understand more of the material that I am sharing. But it's really important to know which one you are because it really shapes how you interact with the world and your actions, your behaviors, your emotions. And it helps you to make sense as to why you feel the way you do, and then be able to make changes in it and become more secure. So that's what I've been working on for a while now. And I am happy to say that, of course, I am not there yet, but I am much, much better than I was even 6 months ago. So we're going to talk about the four different types. I'm just going to give you a little information about all of them. And then I'm going to actually go into the anxious attachment, anxious preoccupied, I guess you can call it. So the four types. So where do they come from? How do you develop these attachment theories? Most people will say it's based on your childhood, especially the first 2 years of your life, in terms of what was going on in your life, especially what was going on in your parents' life. But it also can be a result of adult relationships or any trauma that you had in your life. So you could have been secure from 0 to 2. Everything was, you know, great in your life, but then you're in a long-term relationship at some point in your life. And then there was some trauma or abuse or something that happened that could change your attachment style. So these are typically why people are one of the three insecure. So anxious is you had some inconsistency in your parenting when you were a child. And so maybe one parent was there all the time and the other wasn't, or both worked a lot. And sometimes when they were present, they were very present, but then they were working or gone a lot of the time. The next one is the dismissive avoidant. This tends to be that the parents were there, but there was some emotional neglect that happened. So maybe they didn't know how to help you with your emotions. They didn't know how to validate, acknowledge you, and everything was okay. There wasn't anything traumatic that happened, but you never really got that sense of like, these are my emotions and I know how to deal with them. Obviously, from 0 to 2, it's pretty young to feel that way, but that's the dismissive avoidant. Then there's fearful avoidant, which is, it could be kind of a mix of the two, but it's a little bit different. These people have more chaos, more trauma, more abuse that's in their life. And a lot of fearful avoidants tend to be from traumatic relationships that happen or abusive relationships that happen. Could be emotionally abusive. It doesn't have to be physically or mentally. And then the secure people normally have some more consistency, presence, love, emotional safety is a big one. So that's the four types. So what I'm going to do is talk about the anxious preoccupied today. And I'm going to go through the six different categories of what explains an anxious preoccupied and if you could understand them a little bit better. So you could be an anxious preoccupied, or your partner could be an anxious preoccupied, or one of your family members. So the first category are core wounds. So what are core wounds? They are the beliefs we acquire through our conditioned experiences. So it's part of our sense of self. So if we were criticized a lot as a child, which most parents don't mean to do that, but if that's what they're doing, we could have this wound of that I'm not good enough. So some common core wounds of the anxious preoccupied are I will be abandoned because they're afraid because there was that inconsistency. They are unsafe. They will be alone. They're not good enough. They're rejected. They are unloved. They are excluded and disliked. So those are some common core wounds of the anxious preoccupied. Anxious preoccupied category people typically are very charismatic. They're very kind. They're very attentive, warm, likable, friendly. They move very quickly in relationships, and they tend to prioritize relationships more than any other category. They're good at connecting, they're good at attachment. Some patterns and emotional tendencies that they have are sadness, loneliness, insecurity, fear, anxiety, worry, desperation, and regret. So those are some common emotions that they feel. What are their needs? What are the needs of the anxious preoccupied? They need love, intimacy, closeness, and connection. Those are some really big needs that they have. They need validation, reassurance, approval, and they need to feel that they are important. They need certainty, consistency, presence. They need to feel seen, heard, and understood. That's very important for them. They need to feel included, that they're part of a community, that they're collaborating, and some teamwork. Let's talk about their relationship to boundaries. So typically, this category of people are often without boundaries. They don't have a lot of self-love, self-worth, so they tend to not put up very many boundaries. When others put up boundaries, they feel unloved, they feel abandoned, they feel like someone's being mean to them because they're putting up boundaries. They're afraid of being abandoned. They tend to self-sabotage because they prioritize proximity. So instead of the boundaries, like they'll put their own self-worth on the back burner in order to prioritize proximity. And they don't really feel that boundaries are important in relationships. They actually feel like that keeps them separate from their partner or their family member. So, what are some relationship expectations that the anxious preoccupied has? They believe that their partner should be the one to soothe their emotions all the time. They need to give them certainty all the time. They feel like their partner should know how they feel and read their mind. They feel like a partner should meet all their needs, not them meeting them o their own needs, but the partner should do it. That they should be available. Their partner should be available all the time. Romance is a high priority. So they feel that their partner should have some frequent romantic gestures towards them. So some coping mechanisms that they have in order to get their needs met. They tend to be very clingy. They like to provoke their partner so that they feel that the partner cares about them. So they tend to get jealous. They tend to test their partner. They seek validation and approval. They can be critical of their partner because that's a way to get their needs met. They have this need for emotional connection. So the one way to do it is to be critical. They tend to have some more panic, anxiety, and neediness than any of the other categories, and they tend to do some fawning. Last category is what communication patterns does the anxious preoccupied have? So they tend to use words and touch more than actions in order to get their needs, I mean, in order to communicate. They will address conflict, but they will walk on eggshells before they do it. So they tend to kind of keep everything inside and then they'll address it. And they'll tend to use criticism as a way, just like I said, to get things across, not proactive communication to share their needs. So hopefully this information is, you might need to go back and take notes because that's what I needed to do multiple times to understand this. Typically, anxious preoccupied are very attracted to the avoidant because they have that push-pull. It's like a mirror. They see the avoidant as somebody that can kind of help balance them. And if both people are doing the work, these relationships can work very well because they both kind of heal each other and they meet in the middle. However, if neither one of them are aware that this is what's going on in their life, then the push-pull can go on forever. That whole cycle of push-pull, and it can be very, very, very toxic. One partner can do the work and lead the charge in terms of healing the other, but the other partner has to be open to it. You can't force your partner to be doing this type of work. So I hope this helps. There are lots of positives about the anxious preoccupied. It doesn't necessarily have to be negative. It just being aware of why you are acting this way and how you're acting is a huge step in the healing process. I hope you find this as helpful as I did. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Tune In, Discovering Your Authentic Self. If you found this valuable, please share it with a friend, and it would mean the world to me if you left a review. I love connecting with my listeners, so please reach out to me on Instagram or Facebook at Nicole Renee Jensen.